together. And let us bless the Lord, because as ministers on this evening, it is his birthday. Amen. Amen. No pressure. Hallelujah. Amen. We celebrate. We celebrate a great God. Amen. A mighty God. We thank God for him being here on this evening, and I'm excited. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for being here.
Yes.
Thank God for my wife.
Amen.
Yes, I do. She's the one that is propagating this news. She is crying loud and sparing not. But thank God, it's another year that he's blessed and kept me, and I'm so grateful. Thank God that the pastor and First Lady and Evangelist Bloomfield, I believe they made it safely to their destination, and God is good.
Amen.
Leadership conference, and they're going to be learning more about the right way to guide us so that at the end we can be presented faultless and we can hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I know that's what we're in the race for, amen. Amen. It's no sense in being in this race if you're not running it to win.
Come on.
Don't run to compete, run to win.
Come on.
Thank God for that. We're not going to waste any time because we're a little late. I don't know who has their notes. I know we ended on page 15. And I believe Shire has on the board. I'm going to start just before then, on page 14. We will start with Deuteronomy 34:10, just to lead us into the next portion of what we're going to read. And thank God Elder Kemp works tirelessly on these TGIW notes. He does incredible amount of research. And I told him, I said, "You need to put this on CD." And every church needs to get this information, whether they use it or not. The knowledge in and of itself is incredible. And thank God for the way he's led him to open up the Word of God so that we can understand the conversation God has with his people. A lot of times we'll read the Word of God and we won't understand. We'll take it at face value, or we'll bring out to modern definitions of words, and we'll give it another meaning inadvertently. But God blessed him to want to dig in and find the original meaning of what God's trying to say, so we can understand what God's conveying or communicating with us. So we're starting with Deuteronomy 34:10. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom God knew face to face." Panim is the word for face. Panim, face to face. Just as a side note, in comparing Genesis 32:30 with Deuteronomy 34:10, we will see that these two verses confirm that the Lord is God and that God is the Lord. The man that Jacob had wrestled with told him, "For as a prince thou hast power with God." And Jacob said, "For I have seen God face to face." And God said, "Concerning Moses, there arose not another prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." That's where we left off, and we're picking it up now in Psalms 103. The word "know" is highlighted. Know, K-N-O-W. Yada also means relational knowing as the result of intimacy with. Yada implies a right relationship before God. What does it mean to know that the Lord is God? The Hebrew is Strong's H3045, the primary root, yada, meaning to know or to teach. The ancient pictographs are the yud, the arm, and close hand. Thus it means to work, to throw or to worship. And as I was reading this earlier, when your hand is in a throwing motion, not a pitching motion under, but a throwing, it's in an upward. And you lift your hand upward in worship. So the yad, or the arm and the closed hand, it can be closed, it can have something in it, it doesn't matter. It's a raising of the hand in worship. And God wants us, it's almost like when they say come out with your hands up and you surrender, you come out. And then you raise, you surrender to God. And in victory, you raise your hands. So at any rate, it's all worship. God is deserving of all the worship for our victory and our surrender to His will and His way. The dele, or dele, is the door. Thus to enter, to hang, to go through. The ayin is the eye, thus to see, to watch, or to know. An example, we say, I see, when we understand something. We really don't see anything, but in our minds it's clear. We have a clear understanding. Now I see. So we, in our minds, when we see, we understand what God is saying, not with our natural eye, but with our mind. When we understand something, so the pictographs seem to be telling the story that it is by doing the yad, we enter into dalet, the door, knowing or understanding an with the eye. What this really means is that only those who worship Jehovah, I'm going to take for granted that that's short for Jehovah, know that He is God. Others may give mental assent. Give me 1 second. Mental assent to the fact, but the truth of the scripture teaches it is that mental assent is not enough. You can have God in your mind, you can know about God, you can know of God, you can hear history of God. People that want to destroy the faith study the Bible. And they know it better than most of us. But yet they don't have a relationship with God. They're not worshiping. They're learning what they don't know. Ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Thank God for the knowledge of the truth that Jesus is Lord. So the mental assent is not enough. Mental assent without corresponding action is no knowledge at all. Because we think we know something, and if a man thinketh he knoweth a thing, he knoweth it not as he ought. So we can think we know something and know nothing at all about the reality of what we've trained ourselves to believe we know. Prayer is pointless if the one praying stands outside of God's goodness. The Lord says, my ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Righteous. There's holy and there's righteous. God can deem someone righteous even if they haven't gone the route of holy. Yes. But they're righteous. When you are completely outside of God's goodness or His acceptable realm, pray all you want. It's never going to get to God. He's never going to hear it. He won't accept it. It's a matter of acceptation. You can pray all you want. You can have tons of sin in your life and think you can just pray and God's going to hear and come to your rescue in a time of need, but you're outside of His goodness. So prayer, God has to accept the gift giver before He accepts the gift. Our prayers are a gift, but if we don't come acceptable, God will not accept our gift. So we must come correct. Prayer assumes that I am obedient to the faithful God. God doesn't answer the prayers of rebels. And we might look at the word rebel and say, wow, that's a bad thing. If we don't obey, we rebel. It's just that simple. If we don't obey, what's the other side of obey? Is rebel. So God will not answer if we don't walk in obedience. And God leaves people in authority that he puts over his people. And the word of God says, obey them to have the rule over you. And you walk with them as you follow them as they follow Christ. So if we don't do what the authority that God has established says do, then we're rebellious and our prayers are hindered. It's kind of simple. So God won't hear the prayer of rebels. Ye that the Lord, okay, this is just a portion of the scripture. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the venison, the sheep of his pasture. 5971, I believe that's in the Strong's, AM, is the term of choice to refer to God's covenant people, the people of God belonging to his family through salvation. Regeneration by grace is salvation. And the sheep of his pasture, Marith, feed as a shepherd does with leading his flock to pasture, figuratively. Spiritually feed, nourish, or sustain. That's what God does with his people, through his people. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. We have gone over this quite a bit with Elder Kemp, so I won't elaborate. The mention of gates and courts points primarily to the temple worship. And we are known as the temple of God. Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is God. Enter into his gates, the gates which lead to his temple or to the place of public worship. Psalms 118, verse 1, and 14 through 17, and 19 through 21. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. 17. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. That's what Elder Mackey said when he went in the hospital. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Open to me the gates of the righteous, and I will go in unto them. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. 20, this gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. And Isaiah 12, 2 through 5, 2. Behold, God, El, which is a name for God, is my salvation. Yeshua, another name for God, will I trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Yah, which is Jehovah, Yahweh, God's only name, meaning who is, even who was, and indeed is to come. Thank you, Jesus. You can read in Revelation 14, Revelation 1, 4, 8, 4, 11, 17, and 4, 8. Revelation 1, 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Yeshua, verse 3, Therefore with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Yeshua, verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Of course, it's known in all the earth that God is good. And we are to preach his word to every creature. so that everyone will know that Jesus is Lord. Into his courts. The courts were literally the open spaces which surrounded the tabernacle or temple. It was in these that worship was celebrated and not in the tabernacle or temple. Compare Psalms 65:4 and 13:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Ye shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. 13. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalms 84, 2 and 4. 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still. They will be still praising thee. And Psalms 92, 1 through 3 and 13, 1. A song or song for the Sabbath day. And we learned that those titles are also part of the scripture. So we won't neglect to mention it in conjunction with the rest. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Be thankful unto him, that is, offer thanksgiving and praise. Come before him with a grateful heart. Psalms 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Doesn't matter whether it's good, bad, tasteful, distasteful, whether it's disgusting, whether it's blessed, whether it's repulsive, but we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When David had sinned and he was on his way being dismissed from his head, and someone was throwing rocks and calling him a bloody man, and one of his soldiers said, give me the word and I'll take his head off. David said, don't worry about it. But God had him to do this to me today. But later, David said, don't let him go to his grave, an old man, because he disrespected the position that God had anointed. And David was wrong as a man, but the position was disrespected. But we are to give thanks in all things. It doesn't matter what it is. God knew it was coming before it got here. And if he let it get here, then it's for our good. All things work together for the good to them that love God. So if it's working together for our good, we don't have to know what the good is. You can take medicine, and you don't always have to see what it's doing. But it's doing something way down on the inside that you can't detect, that's going to eventually work its way to the surface where it can be seen. So something horrible can take place in your life. The first reaction should be, thank you, Jesus. Because no matter how bad it is, if you're still alive to say thank you, Jesus, it could have been worse. So let's make sure we give God his praise for what he's doing in our lives, even if we don't understand it. Verses, in all things give thanks as the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was, and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Bless his name. Bless him. Praise him. Ascribe honor to him. Acknowledge him as God. I work on a job where there's a lot of unsaved people, and they'll ask me, how's your day? And I say, excellent. And they're like, how do you mean excellent? I said, I'm standing on top of the dirt and I'm not underneath. So I'm having a great day. If I wake up alive, I'm on top of the game. It doesn't matter. I'm going to give God thanks because he kept me and didn't have to do it. So bless his name. Praise him, ascribe honor to him, acknowledge him as God. Psalm 34:1, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually, that means all the time, my first reaction is thank you, Jesus. Psalms 103, 1 and 2, Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I can't quite remember all that he's done for me because there's some unspoken things, some unknown things that he's done for me. But from what I do know, I will bless his name for what I know, and I won't forget the benefits that I can remember. Psalm 115, 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 105. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, I'm trying to get through this. But reading about God and reading about praising him, it's an exciting thing to do. And it starts to stir down on the inside where I want to give him my own personal praise. I don't know about anybody else, but God is alive and God is good. I can't help but to think and reflect a little bit on the things that he's done in my life. And how, as Elder Mackey was in the hospital a year ago, I wasn't even in the church here to stand up here. A year ago, my mind was in another place. A year ago, things in my life were topsy-turvy. A year ago, peace wasn't a part of my life. A year ago, I wasn't a satisfied soul.
He had a belief,
And now he's angry because his wife died. And his brother's trying to tell him, why are you blaming God who didn't do this? When people want to blame God, why would they pray? You have to believe who you're praying. You have to believe. Why offer something and not believe you're going to get something in return? So there's no need to go to God if you're not going to believe and confess that God is good. There's no point in praying if you're praying and you don't have any faith to believe. God is good. It's well worth incorporating into your brain. In fact, without it, prayer is worse than pointless. It is worthless. In the end, all prayer depends on the goodness of God, and all prayer accepts God's response as the expression of His goodness. Prayer confesses that I don't know anything except what I know for sure. God is good. He always acts according to His character. And one thing I've learned over the last year, God is always in our behalf. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't even matter how many times we fall. God is the first one to pick us up. And it doesn't matter how far we go astray, God is always coaxing us back into relationship with Him. God is always on our side and always making a way for us to escape the pressure of a situation. He doesn't like the, what parent likes to see their child suffer? Well, God is our Father. He doesn't want to see us suffer. So He's always looking out for us. And for this, God is good. He always acts according to His character. That's the character of God that I've learned. His answers are always in line with who He is. Prayer is my way of saying, Father, may Your goodness be the guide of my life. Not my will, but Yours be done. For I know only this, that You are good. So if we pray that prayer, we will get it. Joshua 6, 1 through 5, and 14 through 16, and verse 20. Number one, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day. And they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and when the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now Jericho It wasn't just one wall of the camp showed me. It was four or five walls on top of walls. So it stood about a 40-story building high. Now this is imposing. You gotta think Rahab's house was built on one of those walls. To show you how God thinks. First, now, I'm gonna go off track to sounds. In heaven, God made Lucifer, and before worship with the angels, he was the anointed cherub that covereth, and the Spirit of God would go through him, and he was made with musical instruments in him and all types of jewels. So the most splendid view of glory would show, and the most gorgeous music would play preceding worship. Now, he had the priest blow horns, make music preceding worship. When they shouted, it was a shout of worship, and the walls came down. I don't know who has a Jericho in their life. March. You got that Jericho? Start marching. And I don't care if it's seven times. March. And then lift your voice and give God a shout of worship. And the walls I given to you, because God is good, will come down. If you yell and you go through the door, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. See, the thanksgiving starts happening while you're pulling into the parking lot. And the gates, you're saying, thank you, Jesus, I've made it to church. I'm anticipating what you're going to say. I know you got a word for me. Let me get inside, because praise is about to happen, and God dwells in the midst of praise. So when the praise team is up here singing, God's out there clapping. Some people are sitting still, but he's getting it in. God ain't shy about praising. And he's right here in the midst to meet the needs of those who will worship him regardless of their situation. So those Jericho walls are coming down. Doesn't matter what it is, you can bring them down. You just got to give him the praise. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Did it again. Didn't mean to. Forgive me. These walls were, I think that's where I stopped off. Facts about the walls of Jericho. These walls were structured on a three-tiered plane. The walls started with an earthen rampart or an embankment, which ran from ground level upwards on an incline to a stone retaining wall. The second tier, the stone retaining wall, stood 12 to 15 feet in height on top of the earthen embankment, as the digital image below depicts, which I don't think you guys have behind me. No, you don't. Okay, you don't. Behind me. Okay. On top of the stone retaining wall stood another wall made of mud and bricks, 6 feet thick and 20 to 26 feet high. So you got 12 feet high, and now you got 26 feet high to add to the 12 to 15 feet high. Together, these two walls combined to form a fortification 32 to 41 feet. To put this into perspective, envision a four-story tall building. Such was the height of the walls of Jericho. On the other side of the double wall, the embankment continued to climb upwards. The third tier was at the very top of the embankment, where yet another mud and brick wall stood. At their base, the walls of Jericho stood 46 feet above ground level, outside the retaining wall. This is what loomed high above the Israelites as they marched around the city each day for 7 days. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for the Israelites to penetrate the impregnable bastion of Jericho. To the Israelites, Jericho seemed impenetrable. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 12, and 14 through 15, as well 17 through 22. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be the Hazan Tamar, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedda." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Jehoshaphat gathered themselves together, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, when thou wilt hear and help, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Set Yah, don't quite know how to say that, to station oneself resolutely, standing up to opposition or challenge by remaining fully planted. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. Ephesians 10, 11 and 13. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and you put on that whole armor, you have then done all to stand. And the armor of God is the Spirit of God, which we put on when we get up and pray. And then we fortify it with worship, so nothing can stand against us. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Once again, songs and music precede the victory. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, because victory comes through worship. And when you sing a song unto the Lord, it is worship, it is praise, and God always stands when we worship him. The judge standing by the seat is standing to deliver. And when he had, And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, and I did that. Forgive me. Acts 16:16-33. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful, for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, and drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. I'm going to end there. It's after 8. I'm not going to keep people long. But victory begins with praise. And as we see outlined here, he put the singers in front of the warriors. The soldiers went nowhere without the singers and the praisers. Worship starts with music. God loves music, or he wouldn't have created Lucifer the way he did. And so if we just give God some praise, I don't care how your voice sounds, Wake up in the morning and just sing a little song to God before you pray. Yes. And give God some worship before we start asking for all those things that we love to ask God for. Yes. And God will show up in our lives. Yes. Amen. Yes. And we'll turn this over to Minister Simon, who will finish off the service for us. Amen. Let's greet him with a hearty praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But the camp will be back to answer any questions, which I thoroughly avoided. You'll handle all that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We learned on this evening.